Thank you, Vicky. Good morning. Hey, man, look around. Give somebody that friendly wave that says, I am glad to be here. I am glad you're here. And be excited like Tammy back there. I love to see the excitement. If I had that much energy, I don't know what I would do. But listen, we're glad that each and every one of you are with us today. If you are part of our online audience, once again, we are grateful to have you with us. If maybe it's your first time joining us online, we have our online minister, Dr. John Cazito, flying under the banner of Central Baptist Church. So you've got a voice here. Be sure to say hello to him and anybody else that you may see along the way that you may know. But we're glad to have this opportunity to come together today. Today is a special day. We are going to honor mothers. It's going to take, it's going to be a minute or two. We're not going to do it right up front. We're going to do that right before I preach is what's going to happen. So you know how it is. We got to preach to these mamas, that's for sure, which don't stone me. Don't stone me. Now we love them and love them dearly and severely. So thank you so much for being with us today as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you again, we're thankful that we can come into your house. We're thankful, Lord, in so many ways for the way you have provided. Lord, you have given us a place to be able to come together. You have brought this body together for a particular reason. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to just come together and to love one another, Lord, to cry with one another, and to do this thing called life together as a group of a body of believers known as Central Baptist Church. So, Lord, we praise you for that. Help us, Lord, not to take for granted these opportunities. And, Lord, as we come together today, we do so because we want to hear from you. So we just ask that your word would be first and foremost in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, I know Satan is trying to distract each and every one of us in some way today, whether it's with the schedule of what we've got to do today, Lord, whether it is the functioning as a church. But Lord, I pray that you will help us to just take that deep breath and pause and concentrate upon you that we might hear the Holy Spirit's word for us today. And we'll be careful to praise you as we ask this in Jesus' name.
Oh,
Amen. Today we want to take a moment to obviously to recognize our mothers that are with us. And as we prepare our hearts and our time to be able to do that, I do want to mention today that the flowers that that you see here today are in honor of Frances Young. Everybody remembers Miss Frances. She was such a sweetheart, and she will be missed. I think about her all the time, just enjoying all the spoils of heaven. So we continue to pray for you, Mr. Carl, because we know that it pulls on your heartstrings when you have to continue this journey. But I just want to give you a message today. She's good. She's better than us. And she's waiting until we get there. Amen? Amen. Amen. Today, we want to take the time to honor moms everywhere. I know that we still have some folks that are making their way down from the choir, so I didn't want to get started too early with that particular recognition. But moms, you do so much for each and every one of us, things beyond what any of us really can even imagine. I know words cannot put it into the ears of those who hear all the things that moms do. I know that if you have been if you have been a mom, then you have known the struggles that come along with being mom. You've known the struggles that dads can't know, but that's the reason God created the way he is. And let me tell you something I know today. Out of all the millions or billions of people in the world today, every last one of them has a mother that's a lady. I just want to go ahead and make that clear. Every last one of them. Never before has there been, you know, a dad that's had a baby. So I just want to make that clear as we come to you today. So moms, you have a very special, you have a very, very special place. And we want to take this moment to recognize you today. We love you as a church family, and we always like to try to just give you a little something that says, we're just tickled for you, we see you, we recognize you. So if you are a mom, do us a favor. Would you stand with us right now? Any mom, you don't have to be a church member. If you are a mother, please go ahead and stand up. And then what's going to happen is, Jana and Blake are making their way around there. Once you receive your gift, you can sit back down. That way we'll know who's been, who we've seen and who we haven't seen. And we'll try to make sure that everybody gets just a little something, because we want to tell you how much we love you, how much we appreciate you, how much we realize that there's difficulty in what you do. I've liked it when people have said before, they said, "What? Oh, so you're a stay-at-home mom. You don't do anything." I was like, I think those are fighting words. I think I need to get between somebody right now, because I would never, ever say that about a stay-at-home mom, but not only that, B, moms who are moms as well as who go into the workplace and yet still work diligently to raise those children. I my hats are off to you. I know that too often it seems like you get overlooked, not only in the workplace, sometimes it seems like you get overlooked in your family, but I want to thank you so much for all that you do as moms. I want you to know that you have a significant role in the life of the children, not only your children, even the children that you see that are a part of our church family. So thank you so much for all that you do, moms. Let's give all of our moms a hand and let them know how much we love them and how much we thank them for taking the opportunity to be a mom that never asked for anything. Yeah, you know, most of them. Now, some of y'all are sitting back there. Some of you dads are going, "Never asked for anything. You hadn't been in my household." I get you. Don't throw sticks or stones yet. Remember, Father's Day's coming. But moms, we just want you to know that we do love you. We honor you today. We thank you for all that you do that you think is unseen. Sometimes people just aren't as good as they should be at saying, "Hey, I appreciate what you do, and I want to thank you for your diligence in being a good mom to our children." So take that time today. I do want to say this as well. Take those moments to make sure that you stay in contact with mom. There's always something about moms. I am blessed and privileged today to have my mom
with me. She came in this weekend. She usually watches this on Sundays after she gets home from church. But a large part of the reason that I am where I am today is because of her. I was raised in a good, godly Christian home, and I know the struggles. I know the sacrifices that take place that many, many don't see, and how moms do those things so that their children have that opportunity to have a better life than what they had before. And we really appreciate that. Moms, you may not think that your children know that. Sometimes you sit back and say, that bunch of little ungrateful ingrates, and sometimes they are. But trust me when I tell you, we see what you do for us. And when we're honest with ourselves, well, wouldn't the world be a better place if we would just be not only honest with ourselves, but with those around us, to be able to say thank you, Mom, for all that you've done in our hearts and in our lives. So one more time, let's honor moms today. Happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. Give them a hand. And if you had the opportunity to have a biscuit this morning, that was essentially sponsored by, I feel like I'm doing ads, but Steve Kelly's discipleship group and my discipleship group had those out there for you. And if you sit back and go, what are you talking about? Well, there's some biscuits like right around the corner and maybe some coffee. If Randy and Sandy hadn't put them away yet, you might be able to grab one on the way out, right? Okay. Biscuit and no coffee. You're on your own for coffee at that point. But you can get a biscuit on the way out. I think it was sausage and ham and some plain biscuits. But at any rate, grab you one on the way out. And thank you for being here today. Today, we're going to actually look at some passages that come out of the book of Ephesians chapter 6. So as you have your Bible, turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. There are so many different things that you can say about mothers when it comes to Mother's Day. Most of us have gone to church, and some of you may have even thought to yourself, if you decided to go with Mom today, then what's happened is you've thought to yourself, it's going to be one of those situations where I'm going to go hear the sermon on Proverbs 31. Yeah, fooled you, not today. Because, Proverbs talks about the virtuous woman, and there's nothing wrong with that. Those are some great passages, but there are some other things that I think are important for us to see in light of God's Word when it comes down to moms and when it comes down to families. So today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, a day that we set aside to honor and appreciate the women who have played such a vital role in shaping each and every one of our lives, mothers are often the heart of the family. You've seen that before, but some of you even grew up in those type situations. Now, like I said, I know that culture is different in different places. Culture can be different just a few miles down the road, but I can still remember that when I was younger and growing up, there were a lot of moms that stayed at home because they understood the value of being able to be there to raise children, and it was so difficult. Even today, I honestly don't know how it gets done because the price of daycare for those that are working moms, it's atrocious. But I can still remember that. How many of y'all remember, and I usually like to bring this up because it's nostalgic, but how many of you can remember, like when you were growing up, that you had Vacation Bible School, but Vacation Bible School was during the morning? Yeah. And okay, so not only did you go to Vacation Bible School in the morning, you went to every Vacation Bible School. It was almost like you were in Vacation Bible School every week through the summer, because you know what? That was a good way for you to have at least a babysitter for a half a day. Not that there was a problem with that. How many of y'all went to multiple Bible schools back in that day? Because they were during the day. Well, see, what happened is as time went, it got to the point where more mothers were actually going into the workplace. So it is difficult to be able to find enough available help to put Vacation Bible School on during the morning. Now, I know some people have asked that question. They said, well, why don't we do Vacation Bible School in the morning? Because most moms in this day and age work, and a lot of times because they have to. So it's a difficult situation to be in. But moms play this vital role in shaping our lives. And most often they are the heart of the family. They are the operations officer of the family. They know what's going on. They do all the different things. They pack the lunches. And if you go to work, this makes it even more difficult. Think about it. Get up in the morning, get the kids fed, get them out to school, get the lunches packed, go to work all day, come back home. cook dinner when they get there, start a load of laundry, clean up the dishes, do all these different things and get ready to do it all again. Boy, that sounds fun, doesn't it? Some of you know what I'm talking about. And I know that some of you sit back and go, holy moly, man, I just need a little bit of help in my life. And see, that's often where marriage counseling 101 comes in, because they start talking to dad and they're like, all these things going on. And hey, listen, dads, let's be honest. We don't understand what that's like. We know what it's like to come in and put the recliner in reverse and put the feet up and dinner magically gets made. You know? It just magically comes out of the kitchen. That's that room in the house that food just automatically, you know, makes itself. And then it gets magically put on a plate and magically set down for you. Folks, we need to stop and think about these things. We need to really think about all that moms do. Now, I'm talking about functional things. I'm not talking about when they stay up all night and hold the hands of their children who have a high fever. I'm not talking about when they have hurts in their life and they're there. I'm not talking about when they have those emotional situations that they go through in school and you want to just, you know, grab the whole world and shake it because of the cruelty in the way that it is towards kids these days. And you see your children hurting in many ways and you want to do something about it. And sometimes you just feel so helpless. But moms, they're the heart of the family, providing the love, the support, the guidance, not only in the good times, but also in the bad times. So as we gather today, we want to reflect on the importance of family and the role that moms play in building those strong and healthy relationships. And the scripture I mentioned is Ephesians chapter 6, and I want us to look today at verses 1 through 3. So Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning with verse 1, it says this. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that as we've gathered in your name, Lord, as we have worshiped you, as we have drawn close to you, I pray that your word would spring forth new hope and new life within us today. Lord, I am thankful that your word is truly quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it does not return void. So today, Father, if we're looking for a blessing through your word, then we will receive it because you are here. We're gathered in your name. Lord, help us to be diligent to seek the Spirit's movement in our lives today and the movement in this place. Draw us close to you and change our hearts and our lives. May we leave this place changed from when we came in. And Lord, as always, I pray that you would use me as your messenger for this moment in time. Help me, Lord, to lift you up as you draw all men unto you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we look at this particular passage, I know this talks about family, and I know we can talk about mom as a virtuous woman, but I think today I felt led to talk to each and every one of us about honoring our mothers and fathers. I think that we live in a day and age where I see less of that taking place than I have ever seen in my life. And it's not just older functioning adults, it's little kids. I'm trying to be somewhat easy with this, and you know, as a country boy, I have trouble doing that sometimes. But if you're like I am, you've been places, you've been out in public, and you have seen the way children have treated their mamas. And what you really wanted to do was just go slap the taste out of their mouth. Amen? You didn't do that. I'd go bail for you if you did, but I'll tell you this. That's what we want to do, because we have seen such a lack of respect. The respect is going away. And this is mom, man. You can remember the days, and I know some of us still will. You can mess with a whole bunch of things, but if you mess with mama, you have messed up. You're going to see the wrath of somebody when it comes down to moms. Now, I understand something today that I want us to think about as well. Not everybody had a good upbringing by their mother. And so you know what? Today we pray for you. Not everybody that is gathered. Today's not a wonderful, glorious day for everybody. Because you know what? There are folks today who are going through times of infertility. They're going through times of loss. And you know what? There are those times that they wish like crazy, much like Hannah in the Bible, that Mother's Day would take on a whole new dimension for them because God hasn't blessed them. And let me assure you of something. If you are allowed to carry the title of mother, you have been blessed indeed. You don't think so? Go ask somebody who's struggled through infertility. Go ask somebody who goes through the... And it drives you crazy when you see the lack of respect along the way. So I'm not here to say that every family is perfect. I'm not here to say every mother was perfect. In fact, I'm here to tell you most moms aren't perfect. And they'll be the first ones to tell you that. But you know what? It's not about being perfect. It's about being present. We make mistakes all the time, don't we? Yeah. How many of you moms have made some mistakes with your children growing up? Look, I want everybody to look around. Moms, look around the room. You are not alone. I am so grateful that you will sit and say that today. I know that there are times that you have gotten on your knees and you have prayed, Lord, I think I have just messed this child up. I need you to help them. Because they had me. Yeah, help them through regardless of what a bad job I've done. And you know what? Here's the interesting part. God somehow does, doesn't he? Somehow you look back and then all of a sudden you hear, you weren't as bad of a parent as you thought you were. You tried to do the right things. And God took it from there. Well, let's think about the family dynamic, the family relationship for just a moment. Moms. See, mothers are often the glue that hold our families together. They provide love. They provide nurture. They provide guidance to the children. They help them to grow into the responsible, caring individuals that they are today. Now, I know some of y'all are sitting back going, well, it didn't work in my family. I tried my best to raise them, and they're wayward. Listen, there are some wayward and prodigal children. Amen? But you know something really cool about God's Word? Listen, you mama, you get to praying, and there's some incredible things that'll happen. Your kids won't stand a chance if you're praying for them. And their way. Well, let me tell you, the interesting part is the Word says that you train up a child in the ways that they should go, and when they're old, they will not part from it. They get a little stupid sometimes. Didn't we? No, all y'all were perfect out there. You get a little goofy at times. But yet, even in the story of the prodigal, it says he was prodigal for a time, but the Lord was working at him the whole time. And it says, and when he came to himself, there's a lot of people, a lot of children we're praying will come to themselves and realize they're in a hog pen, to realize they had it better where they were, to realize they want to come home. Now, I want to give a warning right here as well. When they come back home, We can take great examples from the prodigal's father. Because when the prodigal's father saw that wayward son coming from afar off, he didn't go, well, there's that low good, no down, dirty double-crossing kid of mine. No. You know what he said? He didn't really say anything. He took off running towards him. And he embraced him and he put his arms around him. And I love how this story goes, is that the child realized, didn't deserve to even be part of the family anymore. And I pointed out that legally, when that child did what he did, by law, he had no right. It was like him saying, I wish my father were dead. That's what it was like saying. Imagine how hurt that father was. Imagine that hurt. But yet he didn't sit back and go, oh no, you can't come back on this property. You have taken all the inheritance. You have squandered it. You go back and get in the hog waller again. No, that's not what he said. He ran out to greet him. he threw his arms around him. And then what he said, by the way, remember what the boy said? The boy said, I'm going to go back and ask my daddy for a job simply because the servants of my father's house have it better off than I have it right now. I just need a job. I don't deserve to be called his son anymore. I just need a job. And yet the father said, no, no. Go get a robe, put it on his back. Put a ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. My son who was lost is now found. You see, that's what parental love is like. And you see, the interesting part is that moms are usually that glue that holds it together. I may do an experiment sometime. I may take a month and come here and preach with me picking out my wardrobe. That probably wouldn't go well because I'm colorblind. So a lot of y'all be out there sitting out there laughing at me. So, you know, if I show up in order, it's because Jana has laid my clothes out for me. People go, well, golly, Pete, man, I don't think I would share that with you. Why? It's the truth. And the truth makes you free. So if she ever gets mad at me and I show up in something goofy, you'll know why. You'll know what's going on. But moms, you guys hold it all together. Dads, most of the time, are out there scraping and scrounging, and we're trying to do this. And one of the greatest examples of what that's like and the difference between moms and dads is when they're kids, you know, you want to wrestle around. You want to wrestle around with dad, right? Because dad's that guy. Dad's going to throw you off of the couch and everything. It's going to be all right. He's going to let you bounce on the bed. But then you bounce off the bed and like through the glass window. Then who do they want? Do they get up and come running to you and go, Dad, oh man? No. No, as a matter of fact, it's almost like they're mad at you. They want mama. It's not because they're mad at you. It's because mother is caring. Mother is nurturing. Mother kisses the boo-boos and makes it better. Mom is the one that will blow on the wound. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Where am I? Oh, I'm in my kind of people. Yeah, because see, there was this horrible stuff called methylene growing up. Y'all remember that? Also had another word, mercurochrome. And some people like that. Now, the interesting part about it was like taking a blowtorch to your skin. Now, that was good stuff. I mean, so if you had a cut and they brought that orange methylene out, it was getting ready to get bad. And then what would happen would be, yeah, your mom, but okay, here goes. You ready? And then they would swipe that stuff on there, and then start blowing on it. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if it helped for real or not, but it helped me. How about you? Just something about it. I mean, I think it was hot or something. I don't know. But with mom blowing on it, always helped. That's what moms do. Moms are the carers, the ones that nurture. They're the ones that get up or don't sleep at all when you're having a bad night with a fever. See, medical science has changed. Fevers used to be a pretty big deal back in the day, if you remember. We didn't used to have as many medications to knock those things down, and a lot of things could happen through the hurt. Then you watch them. But mom has always been there and asked very little in return. Dads in the family, they play a crucial role in the family dynamic as well. Dads, they provide leadership and protection and support. But together, parents create a strong foundation for their children to strive and to survive. I think about it for a minute. What is that dynamic like? You got your mom, you got dad, and then you got siblings. Siblings should support and encourage one another and build a strong bond, one that will last a lifetime. See, family unity is essential for creating a loving and supporting environment for all the members of the family. It's so funny because we get used to what we grow up in. We kind of model what we've grown up in. And you know what I'm talking about. Maybe as a kid, did you ever go to somebody else's house and you knew very quickly that their family dynamic was different than yours? And I hope and pray that when you walked away, you went, I'm glad I live in the house I live in. Yeah. Even though sometimes there seem to be some things that are good that you feel like, oh man, this would be cool. I can do whatever I want here. Listen, doing whatever you want is not what creates the person that you are. It's doing what is right, no matter what. I've shared it many, many times that I didn't get to grow up watching The Wonderful World of Disney and everybody else did. It's ironic, you know, I can go on pay-per-view or I can, you know, go somewhere online and I could watch it all day. But I can't get back the years that I was in church. You know, if those would have been wasted years, they're gone forever. I can't get them back. But think about moms. Think about the hurt that they endure for their children, the burdens that they carry for their children. Think about the times that moms pray and cry out to God on behalf of their children. And listen, if you're not doing that, I think that's something that you need to do on a daily basis for your children. I don't care if they're adults or not. Listen, it's time that we became who God wanted us to be, not who the world thinks that we should be. See, I don't mind one single bit telling my son that I love him in front of his work crew. The big bad, the big bad ace team. I'll tell him, man, I love you, son. You know why? Because I do. And I think there's a lot of examples that are shown when it comes down to those sorts of things. Yeah, I think that we need to be praying not only for our children, but we need to be praying for the children of the people that we know and that we do life with within our church. Remember the baby dedications? Remember how that stuff worked? And we take a vow. We're going to pray for these children. We need to pray for their upbringing. We need to pray for their future spouse. We need to pray for their job. We need to pray for God's protection upon their hearts and their lives. Imagine what that's like. Not only is mama praying for you, but a bunch of little old church ladies are praying for you as well. Listen, you get out of line, you ain't got a prayer. God listens to little old gray-haired church ladies. And God listens to mamas as well. I can think of times when, you know, in my life, I knew that there was sacrifice. But yet, mom and dad never, brought that off on us. My mom used to work in a hospital, and she worked the night shift. And there were times that my dad, if he was called out and had to be gone, that we actually went to work with her in a hospital. And we would take an empty room, and she'd give us a TV remote. So I watched a lot of TV from a hospital bed back in the days of growing up. And imagine what kind of stress and pressure that is. And that's why she worked 11 to 7. Why? Because my dad was gone during the day, and somebody had to watch him two blame kids. And it was my mama. So she would take care of us during the day and then go to work at night. Somewhere in between, got a few hours of sleep. Moms, you understand that, don't you? There's a lot of sacrifice that goes on that often goes, I don't want to say it's overlooked. It's not overlooked, but often we don't say what we should about it. We have to think about the sacrifices that have been made for each and every one of us. It is important to forgive and to reconcile family relationships when they're off kilter. I have talked to people before when it comes down to those sort of things. I'm like, why don't you just go and talk? I'm not going to do that because what they did to me. We hadn't talked in 30 years. I'm like, over what? Well, I can't really remember. Oh. So you guys hadn't talked in 30 years, and you can't even remember why. It must have been really important. You've lost that time, folks. Listen, reconcile those relationships. Understand that we are to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. We need to work through conflict, and we need to work through misunderstanding, and we need to do it with grace and with understanding. And that's not only on the family level, that's on the church family level as well. We don't always agree on everything, do we? We think that there are different ways and different things happen and different things take place. But you know what? We should be able to have an adult conversation and be able to go forward, right? Notice what I said, an adult conversation. Because sometimes we just act childish and foolish, don't we?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say I'm sorry.
Or we'll try to hedge our bet a different way. Listen, suck it up and say I'm sorry. Own it. And then you can move forward. I still remember a movie. Probably not the greatest illustration, but the old Longest Yard movie that had Burt Reynolds in it. Y'all remember that? Remember the big old Richard Kiel played a guy in that, and he like punched him in the nose or something like that, and he went over and he said, go over and tell him you're sorry. So he went over and told Richard Kiel. He said, I'm sorry. Well, Richard Kiel starts playing again. He's like, he said he was sorry. That was just a big deal to him. So he said he was sorry. Now it's all good. Well, folks, listen, why can't we be at the point where we understand forgiveness in that light? We are too busy holding on to baggage in our lives, and it's slowing us down. It's keeping us from being what God wants us to be. And here's the part that's going to make you mad. It's a tool of the devil. That's what it is. You know, if he can keep you mad at somebody, if he can keep you from forgiving somebody, then he's got you. You know, there are a lot of children mad at their parents today. And there are a lot of parents that are mad at their children today. How about today? If that's you, whether you're here, whether you're watching online, if that's you today, I want to encourage you to pick a telephone up and call your mama and say you're sorry and quit acting like a 3-year-old. Whatever the situation was, put it in the past so that the future could be bright. Yeah, if you're wrong, say you're wrong. Holy moly, if you do, I tell you, that will be a breakthrough in modern whatever you want to call it. No, remember what I've said this before. Nobody messes up these days. It's always somebody else's fault. Well, the reason I'm mad is because of so-and-so. No, every now and then you get mad just because of yourself. Suck it up. Step back and say, hey, okay, look, I was mad. I was out of line. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Okay? And they may sit back and go, well, I know you are. I told you that. Blah, blah. Okay, let them vent and say, okay, where do we go from here? Can we put this thing back together? Because the Lord said, what was it? He said, be slow to anger. But he said, be quick towards reconciliation. Don't hold it over somebody's head. Don't you dare do that. Don't hold it over somebody's head. Forgiveness is true and pure. Forgiveness says, I'm going to forgive you and we're going to go forward. We think about the joy and the blessing that come from spending quality time together as a family, because you know what? Eventually, you don't get to. Eventually, you know, the table's not as full as it used to be. You remember the days that you took for granted. It's like, I saw a thing, and I can't remember what it was, but it said, did you ever realize that you were so used to getting up and functioning as a family, and you would go to the dinner table and you'd do all that, and that one day it was the last time that you did that and you never knew it? Because one of your family members went home to be with the Lord. One of the kids moved off to the other side of the country that you don't get to see that often. And the dynamic looks different. It's going to happen. We need to create lasting memories and traditions that will strengthen our family bonds. Yep, there are times when you think about those loved ones that are gone and there are tears that come to your eyes. At the same time, a smile comes on your face because you were blessed. You were blessed to have the mama you had. You were blessed that she loved you and cared about you regardless of what you walked through. And it's something about moms. I've always said that, you know, to me, I am the greatest pastor ever in the eyes of my mother. Even my dad. You know why I can say that? Because dad's with Jesus right now. So I can say I'm her favorite. Well, it was that way with my grandma too. Billy Graham couldn't hold a candle to Roy Carter. You don't think that's pressure? You don't think that's pressure? That's the way it is. But you know what? That's because moms are the ones that are cheering for you in your corner through the toughest times in life and through the most blessed times in life. And they are unwavering. They're the ones that sit in the stands at the football games when it's freezing. They're the ones that are out at the baseball games when the sun is blazing out. They're the ones that rearrange their life to get you where you're going. Why? Not because they feel like they have to, but because they love you. Remember them today. Spend as much quality time as you can. Think of those lasting memories that you'll make. Anyway, how do I? All this said to simply say that we need to encourage families to prioritize communication. Communication is big. Don't let Satan let little stupid things come between you and your loved ones. Don't let that happen. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is trying to destroy your family. We need to prioritize that communication and that open dialogue. We need to create that safe space for sharing thoughts and feelings and concerns with one another within the family. That needs to be your safe place. You know, parents, I want to challenge you to lead by example, to demonstrate love, to demonstrate respect and kindness in all that you do and in all your interactions with other people, because let me tell you one thing I can tell you. You can take it to the bank today. You can tell kids all of your life what they should do, and they may never hear you, but they will follow what you do. So you need to be the example to them of what a godly mama looks like, what a godly daddy looks like, what a godly family looks like. Does that mean that your family is going to be perfect? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, you might look like a dumpster fire, but God can fix it, okay? Plain and simple. You know, sometimes you're like, well, we're the ones that look like the choo-choo train going down the road with the flame and the smoke blowing out the back of it, but thanks be to God, he's given us another day. Lead by example. Think about ways that we can, as a church family, face challenges and struggles and oppositions together. You know, being able to provide, not only us as a church, but you in your life, being able to provide wise counsel to those, to provide mentorship, to provide some sort of program that helps them out through your church. You know, we need to consider that you're not alone in this journey. It is, isn't it comforting? I don't know, maybe I know that there have been moms out here that you have been at the end of your rope and you have sat down and somebody that you knew in your life saw that you were at the end of your rope. And they sat down with you with a cup of coffee and they're like, hey, look, what's going on? And you said, nothing. They knew something was going on, because they knew you well enough. And then they said to you, when you got done, they felt like they were completely alone. And you said, look, I've been there. I've walked in your shoes. I've been exactly where you are. It's not going to be easy, but I'm going to take you by the hand. And I'm going to tell you what's around this curve. I want to tell you what to watch out for when we come over this way. And what a glorious blessing that is to know you're not alone in the midst of the trials and tribulations. I know that you've been there. So today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we need to remember the importance of family in our lives. We need to honor and appreciate mothers. We need to think about what they did. In fact, do you realize that according to that scripture we just read today, that is not a suggestion. It's a command that children should honor their parents. That's when you sit there and you want to be the force of judgment for God Almighty when you see the child talking to their parents like that. You just want to, I didn't just do that, did I? But that's what you want to do. You want to say, someday you will understand how blessed you are. We need to honor and appreciate moms. We need to strive to build those healthy relationships within our families. and follow those examples of love and grace that the Bible shows us and tells us about. We need to pray for unity in our families. We need to pray for forgiveness, and we need to ask God's blessing upon our families that they may continue to grow and thrive for years to come. So as we honor moms, let us also remember those who may be struggling today with loss, those that may be struggling today with infertility or strained relationships. May we be the source of encouragement and support for those that are in need, showing them love and compassion that God has shown us. Hasn't God been good? And what do we always say? God is good. And all the time. And that's exactly why. Moms, today we salute you. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." That's a command. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's a commandment, not a suggestion. And it says that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. You might even increase your lifespan by honoring your mama and your daddy, plain and simple. For some of us, that's really easy. But for some people, that's an incredibly difficult thing. Because some people say, well, you don't know my dad or my mom. You don't know how my mom treated me growing up. Well, let me tell you this. You're right. I don't. But I do know this, that no matter how your mama treated you, maybe it was bad, she still deserves your honor. She still deserves your love. And that might be what would turn your mama around. Listen, don't cut them off. You talk to them. Today, make sure that you spend time with mama, even if it's on a telephone. If you're 1,000 miles away, call her. Say, "Mom, hey, I'm just glad to be here. Glad you're here. Thank you for spanking my tail. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for always making sure that my Scooby-Doo lunch box was packed. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for the little things that you did that I didn't see until later. Thank you for working the overtime shifts that I could have that baseball glove, or that I could have that cheerleading outfit, or the things that you didn't realize were so costly. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for being mom." And then one day you're going to realize that maybe your mama has said to you, "I pray that someday you have a child just like you." There's good and bad in that. There's good and bad in that. And what mom's really saying is, you know what? I hope and pray that you will have the opportunity to love a human being the way that I've loved you. I hope and pray. Yeah, we'll put the past behind us. It's always been interesting when women talk about childbirth and they say, "Well, do you think that kidney stones for men are worse than childbirth for women?" And I said, "Oh, absolutely. Kidney stones for men, without a doubt." And they're like, "I can't believe you just said that. What is your? Where do you get that from?" I said, "Well, I have never known a man who went to the hospital that had kidney stones that 2 years later said, 'Hey, I think I want to go back for another set of kidney stones.'" I said, "But when women have had children, they'll come back a couple years later and say, 'I'm ready to have another child.'" I said, "So you tell me." Now, obviously, you know I'm being facetious when it comes down to that part. Moms, we love you. Today, I pray that you will consider what the Lord has commanded us to do. I pray, Brad, you guys come on up. I pray that as the Lord speaks to our heart, there's a lot of things that the Lord puts on our heart. I mean, I think sometimes Satan likes to come in and make us think about the bad things of the past, but yet God wants you to think about the good things. Even if the past was horrible, God says you can have a new start starting today. But you need to be the catalyst. You need to be the bigger person. You need to be the one that can sit back and say, "Look, no matter what it was, It's not more important than you. I'm sorry. Let's put this thing back together. Let's go forward, that we may be on each other's side, side by side, to the day we see Jesus. Would you do that? Today, maybe you're here and you don't understand the concept of love because you don't have Jesus Christ in your life. And I'll tell you, if you don't have Christ in your life, you don't know what love is. You don't. Agape love. What kind of love do you have that would say you would lay down your life for somebody else? Not a whole lot of people that, truth be known, that you would sit back and say, yeah, I'll go out and die for them today. Jesus died for each and every one of us. But the glorious part is he rose again on the third day, conquered sin, death, and hell. And that he provides for us the opportunity for eternal life through him. Today, he presents you. He knocks on your door. He says, hey, will you trust me? Can you trust me to save your soul, to provide for you eternity in that place called heaven? Now is the time for you to make the choice. If that's you, then I just simply ask you to pray to yourself, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner, and I need you as my Savior. Forgive my sin, save my soul, and help me live for you. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you did that, again, that's not the end-all, be-all. That's just checking boxes. The Lord says you're part of the family. Well, if you're going to be part of the family, you need to act like part of the family. Now, I'm not saying that there are caveats to salvation. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But later on in the New Testament, we also hear that faith without works is dead. The Lord wants you to come to know him. That's the discipleship. Listen, if you trusted Jesus, let us know. We want to celebrate with you. I want to help get you on the right discipleship path to grow in his grace. Maybe you're here today and you've just been muddling along is probably the way it is. And you've had some discouragements, you've looked at things, and your attitude has just overall been bad. Anybody ever told you got a bad attitude? Yeah, and you know it. My attitude's just overall been pretty bad. And the Lord's sitting back going, you got a bad attitude. Maybe there's some things you need to give him today. Maybe there's some things that you need to get right with him. Listen, the altar's here. I'm here. Whatever you need to do, I'm going to ask that you respond to him as we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 285, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go. Heads are bowed as your eyes are closed, and as you continue to seek the Master, what has he told you? He's told you something. What are you going to do with what he has shared with you? That's up to you. Ball's in your court. Make it right today. Do what only you can do. As you continue to do business with the Lord, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Our Father, your goodness amazes us. Your provision amazes us, or it should. But Lord, we're thankful that you take care of us in many ways, Lord, many ways that we don't even understand. But Father, right now, I pray that you will help us to be faithful as we return to you the tithe and the offering. Lord, we pray that you will give us wisdom as the leaders in your house to be good stewards of what it comes in from the stewardship of each family. May it honor and glorify you. And Lord, may you bless the gift and giver as we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Biggie. How many of y'all knew what she was playing? Precious Memories. There you go. Thank you, Biggie, for always blessing her heart for the offertory time. Let me give you a couple things. We'll get you out of here so you can take out Mom someplace nice to eat. Or I'll behave myself. Just for what we've got going on this week, birthdays that we've got coming up this week, this coming Thursday, Roger Brooks. We'll be having a birthday. I think Roger's out of town because his granddaughter actually graduated college this past weekend. So there's a big congratulations to Lainey Snyder, Roger and Ann's granddaughter. So she takes checks, you know, whatever you want to give her as well. So anniversary we got coming up this week on also on Thursday the 14th. Jenny and Donnie Chilton will be celebrating their wedding anniversary. So if you get a chance or you know Donnie and Jenny, be sure to reach out to them and give them a big congratulations. Things that we've got coming up for this week, we won't have any other events for today. It's Mother's Day. We want you to go spend time with Mom. However, Steve will be having his discipleship group tomorrow here at the church at 6 o'clock. It's normal time. And Mari, hers at the house at 6:30. So normal D groups for Steve and Mari for tomorrow. Then on Wednesday, the ladies' monthly breakfast will be at 9 o'clock at Cagney's. Over on Friendly, and then just a few things that we've got coming up for the future. Today, technically today is when we usually put out our baby bottles. If you saw, they may be back there. They should be back there in the narthex. What that is that's the time that we take between Mother's Day and Father's Day that you put loose change or whatever into those bottles, and we collect that. Those go to pay for ultrasounds for ladies for the crisis pregnancy center. So 90+% upper 90 percentiles choose not to abort their child when they see these ultrasounds. So that's what you're contributing to. If you want to pick up a baby bottle, you can bring it back before Father's Day, but we'll start collecting them at Father's Day. So just keep that in mind. Then May the 12th, which is, I think, this coming Tuesday, that's our bi-monthly blood drive right here at the church. Next week is our homecoming, May the 17th. And we're going to be blessed to have Gary and his group here. I still don't know if you got a name, but we're going to call you the Strength for the Journey Pickers for this one right here. Does that sound good? You'll take that, steal it, take it, use it, whatever. Anyway, they're going to be doing four songs. They'll be doing our music in the worship service next week, and then you will get to hear them play over when we have lunch. Now, don't worry, they're going to be some bluegrass music in there. I mean, I've requested it. It's going to be there, so you know we. Bluegrass is spiritual where I come from, so you might hear a little Foggy Mountain Breakdown. You never know. So y'all come on out, be with us. There is a sign-up sheet back there. The sign-up sheet is just so that we know how many people we need to prepare for, and that helps our fellowship team know how many to prepare for. So we would certainly love to have you with us next week as we celebrate our homecoming. It'll be right here. We'll be doing our service as normal, 10:45 in the sanctuary. Then we will be moving over to the gym for our fellowship meal and having the time to hear Gary and the boys. June the 3rd is a next ladies' monthly connection. I also want to mention that I'm going to be putting out the graduation, info that I need to collect. So if you know graduates that we have this year, we will be doing a graduate recognition in the month of June, which is next month. So be sure to pick up one of those forms. If they're not back there, call me. I'll email you one. We'll get you one in some way. So if you have a graduate that's going to be graduating, we would certainly love to recognize them. Two other things, and then I'll pray you out of here because I know you want to go. I want to thank Mark Gross, very special guy right there. If you haven't had to hurdle the ditch out in the parking lot, you've noticed that for the last couple of weeks, I call it the culvert across the driveway was there. It was hard to push anything across it it was very much a trip hazard. Mark and his company took care of fixing that for us, did a wonderful job. Hasn't looked that good since the day it was done, and I appreciate you. So would you show your appreciation to Mark for taking care of us at Central Baptist? And there was a guy that was in a handicap, he was in a wheelchair, was very excited when he parked out there in the handicap, and he didn't have to circle the parking lot because he could get across it. So thank you. And then finally, here's what I want you to know. It's a very special Mother's Day for all of us, but I think it's a really special Mother's Day, particularly this year, for Valerie Giles. For those of you who do not know, Valerie had her baby on Friday, May the 8th at 8:35 a.m., Lily Allison Giles entered this world weighing 6 pounds, 9 ounces, and she is 20 and a half inches long. Mom and baby are doing great. So thank you for all your prayers for Valerie. She is, her little Lily is adorable. And we have told her that pretty much when it comes down to her being here, she won't have the right to her baby once she walks in here because we will probably take it away from her. So we're so looking forward to having Lily around and being a positive influence in her life. There are so many things that I usually wind up forgetting. Have I forgotten anything that you know of? Okay? Lots of stuff comes at us in a bunch of different ways. Don't forget flowers placed there in honor of our very own Frances Young. What a sweet lady, man. I can't wait to see her again in the kingdom of heaven. So take mom out. Have a good time. Pastor David, come on up. Let us know anything that I have forgotten or that you need to let us know, and then pray us on out of here. And folks, we'll see you next week. Get mama out to lunch.
For those of you who are not used to being here at homecoming, the church is going to provide meat, bread, and drinks, and we need you to bring the rest of it. Vegetables, salad, dessert, whatever. We'll sign up to eat out in the foyer.
Please sign up out there and let us know who's coming, how many you're bringing with you, so we'll know how much food to buy for the part that we have to buy. It is homecoming. It's just old-fashioned homecoming, like covered dish, okay? Almost. We got some of it we're going to provide. Sign up, please. We're looking forward to next week and the celebration. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day, that not only were we able to come and honor you, but we were also able to come and honor our mothers. And for those who are blessed enough to still have their mothers with them, Lord, I pray that today will be a very special day as they spend time with them. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for this day that we can celebrate our mothers. Lord, bless us today as we go from this place. Those of us who don't have our mothers, Lord, help us to bless our children who are mothers. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.